If you have your Bible, would you stand with me for the reading and the honor of reading God's Word? And as we stand this morning, I'm going to read a psalm. I'm going to read Psalm 96 before we get into 1 John. So I'm going to read Psalm 96. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here and present with us. And Father, the Holy Spirit is moving and he's speaking to hearts already. Through the worship, through the praise, through communion, Lord, you are present with us. And you are a God worthy of our praise. For you are the only true God, the living God. And without you, Lord, we cannot be here today. We would not breathe. So I pray that you would speak to us in a very real way, God. Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a mind to believe, and a heart to receive, and a will to obey the things you have for us, God. Lord, open up and soften hearts. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. I understand that all the people in this house this morning, that I'm held with most accountability on my life and strict judgment, and I accept that place in rightly dividing your word of truth. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 John. We are in the epistle of 1 John, this letter. And John is writing so that we may know certain things. And this morning, he wants us to know that we are not to believe all the spirits that are out there. Okay? And so we're going to look at some stuff. We're only looking at 6 verses this morning. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So, you know, it's 6 verses. Shouldn't be that long. So let's get started. You ready? 1 John 1, 4. Beloved. Okay, let's stop right there and talk about this word for a moment. Beloved. He begins this chapter with saying this word, beloved. He wants them to know that I care about you dearly. The folks that he was writing to, he loved. He was a pastor to these people. He was elderly in his age, probably getting to the point to where he would not be alive much longer. And he had a real concern and a real heart and a real desire for them. And he wanted them to know some things. And what he wants them to know is that they really need to be discerning and judgmental. And you think, what do you mean? I didn't think we're supposed to be judgmental. You better be judgmental. You better have sound judgment in your life. Now, I'm talking about a biblical sense of being judgmental, of being able to judge what is truth and what is error, what is good and what is evil. You see, we're living in a culture that tries to muddy the waters and make the line fuzzy and says, you know, you can't judge me. Or you're being awful judgmental. And I'd say, well, thank you for condemning me for being judgmental. You know, it talks in circles. It's like, well, there's no absolute truth. except for the statement that you just made that there's no absolute truth, you know? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And so our culture has this attitude that, well, you got to be tolerant of everything. Well, I tell you, if you're tolerant of a pain in your chest and down your left arm, is that what it is? And you tolerate that for a while, you may be dead. Because that could be signs of a heart attack. If you tolerate a lump that comes up in your throat, you're like, and you just tolerate it and you never go get it checked out by a doctor, you may not be around that long because that might be cancer. So I don't tolerate evil. We don't tolerate that which is false. And so John wants them to know, beloved, I love you so much that I want you to know some certain things, and you need to be real discerning. Young people, listen. You better be listening this morning. You better be real discerning throughout your life. He says, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He says, do not believe every spirit. There's false spirits out there. And this is where we get to the text and part of our Christian faith that we're like, oh, this is weird. You know, we're going to start talking about, you know, spirits and demons and all that stuff. And oh, no, here we go. This is the woo-hoo passages of the scripture. What do we do? Well, here's what we do. We got to understand some truth this morning. God, in the beginning, God. Amen. Father, Son, Spirit, God created everything that is made. Everything that was made, everything that is made, everything that will be made is created by God. He created the things that are visible to our eyes, and he also created the things that are invisible to our eyes. There is a physical reality that we live in. There is a physical world that we live in because God created the world. He also created a supernatural world as well that is just as real as the physical world that we live in. Just as real as I'm here on this stage that you see me, there is an angelic host in heaven and around us that is real. There are angels around. There are supernatural beings. God, the Father, is spirit. Jesus the Son, he has a body. The Holy Spirit lives in the believers. He created a spiritual world. He creates angels. Angels were created to do his bidding. They were to worship him, and then they were to serve and minister over and watch over his utmost of creation, which was humanity. When Genesis, after Genesis was written 1 and 2, it says that everything God had made was what? Good. Perfect. Sometime after the creation of Adam and Eve, the Bible tells us that there was a rebellion in heaven. Okay? We see in 2 Peter 2:4, it says, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them into the pits of darkness reserved for judgment. Jude 6 says, and the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 and 15, and Ezekiel chapter 28 speaks of, it's a dual prophecy that's not just speaking of a king, of an earthly king, but it's speaking of Satan himself and his fall out of heaven. Satan was an angel. He is an angelic being. And the demons that followed him, they are angels. They are evil angels. We call them demons. But what they are is they are fallen angelic beings. In Revelation chapter 12 and 4, it tells us that a third of the angels were sent down onto the earth. In 1 Chronicles 21:1, it refers to Satan as his name in the Old Testament. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan was standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Hebrew word for Satan means adversary. Satan is an enemy of God. Satan is the destroyer of the things of God. When Jesus met Satan face to face with the temptation, he said, "Be gone, Satan." In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven." Other names that the Bible speaks of Satan is the devil, Beelzebul, ruler of this world, prince of the power of the air, the evil one. Satan is the originator of evil and sin and disobedience. Some of you look at the world and you say, why is the world so messed up, so chaotic, so out of control? What in the world is going on? And many of you blame God, when in reality, you ought to blame Satan. Because when God created this world, he created it good and perfect. Satan, out of pride and ego, said, I would ascend up to heaven and make myself like the Most High God. He wanted to be God. He could not be God because there is only one God. He had a rebellion in heaven and took some of the angelic host with him. He was cast down onto this earth. And in the Garden of Eden, we see him creeping into God's paradise to deceive and destroy God's greatest creation and his relationship with that creation, mankind. And ever since then, Satan is a destroyer, he is a thief, and he is a murderer, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not your friend. He's not your pal. He doesn't have your best interest in mind. He wants to kill you. So what does Satan do? John wants us to know that we need to be aware of spirits, because there are false spirits. There are evil spirits. There are things that are not of God. There are three things that Satan does. There's more than just three, but I'll just mention three this morning. Is that Satan is the tempter. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, we see that Jesus is the tempter. I mean, not Jesus is the tempter. Jesus was the tempted. Satan was the tempter. He tempted Christ. He tempts us with sin. He says stuff like this: oh, you know, it's not that bad. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and do it. Remember, just a while ago in 1 John, we said that there was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Go ahead and do it. It'll feel great, man. I know, you know, yeah, you know, they're saying it's not going to be fun. It's going to be fun. You're going to have a blast. It's going to be great. It doesn't matter what your preacher says. Don't listen to him. What's he know, you know? What's the Bible? I mean, who? The Bible? What's the big deal about the Bible? Go ahead and try it. Just try it once. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and think that way. You're not going to believe that foolishness, are you? Come on. Have an open mind. Think for yourself. And he will tempt you to move away from God. How many of y'all have ever experienced this tactic of Satan? He is tempted you to do something that you knew wasn't right. But there was something inside your head or in your head saying, go ahead, do it. Go ahead and do it. That's Satan. That's his demonic attack on your life. Because he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your relationship to God. And so he'll do whatever he can to do it. Another thing that he does in Revelation, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He will try to accuse you and say things to you that will mentally take you out of life. Okay? So there's times when people may hear voices in their head or in their mind or in their spirit and stuff like, you're stupid, or you're no good, or you're ugly, or you'd be better off dead, or you're a failure. You'll never amount to anything. You're this and you're that. And some of you may be under attack of that right now. You say, well, how do I know that that's Satan? Like, well, I mean, when you hear voices saying, like, you're stupid, I would pretty much guarantee that most of us don't speak to ourselves in the third person, do we? We don't say, you're going to McDonald's and get a Big Mac, you know. You're going to Walmart, right? We don't talk like that to ourselves. So who is that? That's the enemy. If he can make you feel like you're not worthy to be loved, he will do that. If he can make you doubt who you are in Christ Jesus, he will do that. If he can make you feel like nobody cares about you, and that if he can isolate you and make you feel lonely and hopeless, he will. He'll put those thoughts in your mind. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you are probably experiencing that. Maybe even now. Oh, don't listen to him. You know you've done way too much wrong. God would never forgive you. He would never love you. That's a tactic from the enemy. It's not of God. It's of the enemy. What else does Satan do? He's a liar. In John 8:44, when Jesus speaks about Satan, he tells us that when he speaks a lie, he speaks his native language because he is the father of lies. Satan cannot tell the truth. He is a liar. If you believe a lie, even though it's not true, can it still have a stronghold on your life? Yep, it can. If you believe something that is not true, it can shackle you up. And it can cause you to live in bondage for years. That's why it's so important to know the truth. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus says the truth will set you free. Okay, so those are some tactics that he has. And so we've got to test every spirit. We just can't blindly believe anything that anyone says, because there's going to be false prophets go out into the world. Paul also talked about this in 1 Timothy 4:1. He said, but the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrine of demons. Ephesians 2:2, it talks about Satan being the prince of this air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. There's demonic influence all around us. Jesus warned us about this as well in Matthew 7:15. He said, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Be careful. Don't believe everybody you hear. Just because it's in a book in Barnes & Noble doesn't mean it's profitable to read. There are a lot of books in that religious section that are demonic, even if it does say Christianity. So you must be very discerning about what is true and what is error. What is false, what is right, what is good, what is evil. In Acts 20, it says, be on your guard yourselves for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit's made you overseers. He says, I know that after my departure, there's going to be savage wolves will come in and not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, and men will rise up and with speaking perverse things and draw away the disciples after them. Do you realize Satan goes to church? Amen. He has better attendance than you do. He doesn't miss a Sunday. Because he wants to try to deceive and keep people in the dark and not have them come into light. You know Satan can quote scripture? He did to Jesus. James says, you believe there's one God? Good. Even the devils believe and tremble. Do you know just not having a head knowledge of God doesn't save you? It is a heart transformation. It's a whole life saying, I believe, I put my faith in Jesus so much that I put my whole life into him. You see, he is a deceiver. And he'll use whatever he can to keep you from the truth. Heresy and deceit are so clever. There's a proclivity in man that says that I want to hear something new, you know, tickle my ear, you know. There's something boring about orthodox faith. Give me something new. Give me something insightful. Give me something cool, you know. I need the newest fad faith, you know. Give me the faith that's cool. You know, yeah, I've heard Jesus and this and that, but give me something cool and new. Well, that's what John is warning about. He's warning about people who are trying to twist the scripture and teach opposite things. Do you realize there are people who are trying who will try to misrepresent God through his word? So you got to be very discerning. Look at verse 2. He says, by this, because, you know, if he tells us to test the spirits, then it's probably a pretty good thing to know, how do we test the spirits, right? Say, okay, now I know I need to be discerning. Well, how do I discern? How do I know which is of God and which is of the evil one? How do I know which is Christ and which one's Satan? How do I know? He says, by this you know the spirit of God. Here's how you know. Here's the test. Here's the litmus test. You ready? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, here is who John's happened to counterattack. There's a group of people called the Docetist. It's a docetic teaching that said this, that Jesus was not completely human. He didn't completely come into the flesh. They taught that the flesh was evil. And so since the flesh was evil, God, who is spirit, could in no way come into a sinful fleshly body. So they said that the anointing, the Spirit of God, came on Jesus at his baptism, and then it left before his crucifixion. That's what they were teaching. And John says, don't believe that. That's not of God. That is not orthodox Christian faith. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ. Now remember, we talked about that at the very end of last week's message. He uses the term Jesus Christ 8 times in this letter. And this means that Jesus Christ is God in flesh. That Jesus didn't come into existence at his birth. He always existed. In the beginning, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit always was. God enters into humanity, takes on the form of flesh, becomes human. He is 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time. Now, I know you mathematicians say, well, that doesn't seem possible. Well, we're talking about supernatural reality, that Jesus is God. He didn't appear to be God. He didn't make it look like he was God. He truly is God. He came in the flesh. He emptied himself. He went to the cross. They crucified him. They placed him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again. Jesus is everything to the Christian faith. He is everything. It doesn't take a whole lot to be demonic. Some of you think that if if your eyes aren't rolling in the back of your head and head spinning around and throwing up, that it's not demonic. You know. All you have to do to be demonic is ignore Jesus. Demonic. With all that being said, how many false prophets are there today? A bunch. A whole bunch. You see, many religions teach that Jesus was just a good man, or that he was even maybe a good prophet, but he wasn't God. That's not Christianity. That's not of God. Some religions teach that Jesus was a godlike man and he was real spiritual, but he wasn't fully human. That's not of God. Some teach that he was first born a man and then became a God. And so if he became a God, we can become a God too. That's not of God. I mean, some people, and I hope none of you do this, some people, they truly believe in the History Channel more than they do the Holy Scripture. Amen. You see, Satan will use all kinds of forms and ways to get his message to you. And some of you will watch the History Channel and say, well, I tell you what, you know what? We're missing books of the Bible. I sat there and listened to it and heard it right there on the History Channel. What? You going to believe the History Channel over the Bible? I mean, some of you think about Nostradamus. I'll tell you what, that Nostradamus, man. He says the world's going to end this time. Well, who's Nostradamus? He's not a prophet of God. You know? He didn't write Holy Scripture. But I tell you what Nostradamus said. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we got people out there doing ghost hunts. Doop, 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 doop. I think it's a bunch of guys my age that having Scooby-Doo withdrawals. They're just getting back in their Scooby-Doo moment, and they think they're in the Mystery Machine, and they're going to go out there and hunt a ghost. And what I want to ask them is, what are you going to do when you finally meet a demon? Because they are real. And I tell you what, I'd be very cautious about playing with anything that has a dark hint to it. Because it may seem simple, and it may not seem harmful, but I'm telling you, where darkness is, demonic activity is. And so we have got to be discerning people who will say, this is of God, this is not. If this is not of God, I don't want a part of it. If this is of God, I want to be right smack dab in the center of it. Religions, philosophies, counseling systems, therapeutic systems, intellectual systems that don't include Jesus in any of those. Not of God, right? Pick you up a book about anything, pop it open. Marriage book. Nothing about Jesus in it. Now, who would try to get us to think that we can do things our own way and we don't need God to make our lives happy and successful? I wonder who might be behind that. Anybody have a guess? I wonder who would say, just believe in yourself. You can do all things through you who gives you strength. I wonder who would preach that kind of message. I wonder who would make finance books without Jesus in it. And I wonder who would make self-help books. I wonder who would be behind that type of movement, that type of philosophy. I think I have a good idea. I think it's demonic. You just need to love yourself. You just need to have pride in yourself. And as a Christian, I say, you know what? I think God loves me. That takes care of that. I don't think I need to be more prideful. I think I need to be more humble. I don't think I need to gain this world. I think I need to lose this world. You see, the world system preaches a different message than what Scripture does. I don't need to believe in Grant. I need to believe in Jesus. I can't do all things through me who gives me strength, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't need me, I need Him. And so we're living in a culture where it's like, you know, you've got the power and you're awesome and you're wonderful. And the Bible says, no, we are nothing, absolutely nothing apart from the power of God. That we need Him. My greatest need is not to be intellectual. It's to know Christ who made me, who loves me, and who died for me. We got to listen. We got to be discerning. Look at verse 4. I think I did it again. I skipped verse 3. I did it in the first message, and I did it again here. Let me read verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not where... That just backs up what I just said there for a while. You ready? This is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's against Christ. That's not believing in Christ. Of which you have heard that is coming. And now it is already in the world. There is a spirit of Antichrist all around. It's around the world. It's in religions and philosophies and education. It's in all kinds of places, in entertainment and Hollywood. It's all over the place. That's why we've got to be very discerning. Look at verse 4. He says, beloved. No, he doesn't say beloved. That's in verse 1. He's in number 4. He says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. He says, you know what? It might seem like the world's winning. It might seem like the bad guys win. How many of y'all ever think, man, it seems like, you know, the guys that are the most crooked are the ones that succeed. How many of y'all have ever made that observation? You know, it just seems like, you know, evil wins. And that sometimes it has that appearance because, you know, Satan blesses his followers with wealth and prosperity and things to have a platform to preach his message from. Amen. You know, we always think of Satan just as this big red, you know, horns and pitchfork, you know, and gotcha. No, he's a lot more subtle than that. If he's going to destroy your life, how would he do it? Maybe through your kids. Maybe through your own success. There's many ways that he can get us. So we got to be careful. But fear not. The world's not winning. The evil's not winning. Satan doesn't win over a child of God. Do you realize that there is nothing that he can do to you if you're a child of God? That there is no thought that he can put in your mind that you have to believe? That there is nothing that he can do, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world? Who is the he that's in me? It ain't Grant. It's the Holy Spirit. If we are a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And so when Satan comes knocking, we need to stop answering. That's where we mess it up. Satan starts knocking. We go, oh, hello? Ah! Next time Satan starts knocking, send the Holy Spirit to answer the door. He will do a much better job than we ever will in battling Satan. That's why Paul says to take every thought captive. Don't believe everything that you hear. You have to be discerning in what you hear on the radio, on TV, in the classrooms. Wherever you are, you must be careful, because Satan is throwing his hooks out there, and he is fishing, and he is trying to lure you with whatever bait that he can for you. And just like fish, we all have our own bait. There's things that tempt you greater than maybe tempt this person over here. And he'll use the thing that you're tempted with the most to get you to bite, yank the line, and reel you in. So you must be very discerning. Verse 5. He says, they are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. He says, they are from the world, so they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. They're plugged into the same source, evil. They're both on the same station, demonic. And so when the world sings its song and it makes fun of Christ and his claims, the world sings along with them. And so, just take Hollywood, for example. There could be some great, I'm sure there's great Christians in Hollywood, and that it's all not evil. But I'm pretty much, I would guess that, you know, Satan's got an office set up there as well. Amen. And so we will have Hollywood movie stars that we hold in high regard, and we think they're wonderful and awesome, and they'll get up there and their Emmys or Oscars or whatever, and even make fun of Christianity or Christ or put him down, and the people will just, well, they'll applaud, yay. Oh, yeah, those Christians, aren't they goofy? Why do they do that? It's because they're singing the same song. They're plugged into the same source. They're listening to the same station. And so Satan will bless them with movie deals and book deals and fame so that they can have a platform to preach their message. And many of them have an anti-Christ attitude or outlook on life. And so when you watch these guys or listen to their songs and watch their movies, you must be discerning in what you watch and what you hear. I mean, I watch movies, okay? Some actors I think they're pretty cool, you know, that I like, you know. Tom Cruise, just about any guy my age probably likes Tom Cruise, you know, Top Gun. It doesn't get any, wow. John Travolta, right? Who couldn't like John Travolta, man, you know? Harrison Ford, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Han Solo, golly, But I'm not going to listen to them about spiritual truth. Because if I listen to them about spiritual truth, I will be as blind as they are, and they will lead me straight to the pits of hell. I don't listen to them about what I believe to be true or not. I've got to believe what the scripture says. So I don't play their music. I don't listen to their station. I'm plugged into a different source. I'm plugged into God's source. And so when Christians hear the world singing their song and making their claims and teaching their philosophies or their ways of thinking, we ought to be like that dog that hears some strange noise, you know? It ought to be like, What's that? Amen. That's odd. That's not of God. Amen. If you were to sit in a class or a church and they were begin to open up the Bible and they were begin to make claims that Jesus is not the eternal Son of God and that he came to die to take away our sin, and they were start teaching something different, there ought to be a Christian radar go up. That ain't right. Wait a minute. That's not of the Spirit of God. We have a different song that we sing. You know, we're Christians and we're plugged into God's source and we're over here singing, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And the world hears us and they look at us and they go, because they don't understand us. We should not understand them because they don't speak the same language that we speak. They don't serve the same God that we speak. And in verse 6 it says, we are from God. We are from God. Who are the we? Christians, children of God. We are from God. This is verse 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not of God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You see, the Holy Spirit lives inside of a born-again believer. And the Holy Spirit's one of his primary jobs is to brag on Jesus and to lift up the name of Jesus. And any religion, philosophy, teaching, or church that does not lift up the name of Jesus is not of God. It's not of God. Because to the Christian, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord is essential to our faith. It's not optional, it's essential. Jesus is God who died for us. As man, he became our perfect substitute to take away our sin. For as man, we sinned. As man, he was perfect. As God, he has the power and the ability to save us from our sins. The God-man, Jesus Christ, he is Lord. We worship him. Sad truth today is that there are many people who are spiritual. We have many people in our culture that are very spiritual. At Living Water, we don't want you to be spiritual. We want you to be spirit-filled. We want you to have a true encounter with the Lord, that you repent of your sin and place your faith in Him, and in turn, He will seal you with His Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Some of you say, well, I pray a lot. But I would ask you, to whom? Who do you pray to? Well, I read a lot of books and I read a lot of philosophies, and I would ask, but which book are you choosing to be your source of authority? If it's not the Bible, it's not a God. If you're not praying to the God of the Bible, you're praying to the wrong God. Amen. And this morning, what John wants you to know is that there is truth and there is error. There is a spirit of God and a spirit of anti-God or anti-Christ. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. Some of you need to come to Him and say, Jesus, forgive me. I've been trying to do life my way. I've been serving me. I've been worshiping me. I've been trying to save myself. I've been trying to just figure it out myself. And I realize today I can't do it. That Jesus is the one true God. The Holy Spirit's spoken that to some of your hearts. And He's speaking to you right now and He's saying, trust me. Trust me. Some of you are Christians and you may be on the verge of, you know, dabbling into some things that you shouldn't be in. And it's going to get you off course. You may be reading literature that shouldn't be read. You may be listening and watching things that shouldn't be watched. And it's about to open a Pandora's box that will release demonic activity in your life. And so today, wherever you stand, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. I'm going to ask you to come and pray. You say, well, I can pray right there in my seat. I know that. I understand that. But I also want to tell you this. God's doing some amazing work here up at this altar. And there are some things that have taken place just in the last several weeks that's been truly amazing. You need to call out to the Lord and come to Him. Some of you need to repent, place your faith in Him. Some of you need to lay some stuff down and say, God, I've been listening to some demonic voices. No more. Lord, I lay claim that You're greater than anything around me. Some of you got some friends and family, their life is damaged and broken. And Satan has got a snare on their life. And you need to come and pray for them today. Okay? We don't just have an invitation because it's a pretty nice thing to do. We have an invitation because we want you to have an encounter with the risen Lord and let Him work in your life. So let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for who You are. And Lord, You've spoken. We have opened up Your Word. And the Holy Spirit has moved. He's speaking to hearts right now. I pray, God, that those that are here this morning, that You are calling to repentance and faith and trust in You, that You would open up their eyes and that You would enable them to respond today to Your grace, and that they would escape the darkness and run into Your marvelous light. Father, for those of us who love You and follow You and serve You, help us to lay aside the things that may be trying to capture our heart and tear us away from who You truly are. Lord, for those who have burdens on their hearts, may they come and lay them down. And God, may You do Your sweet grace today. And may You shower Your love upon Your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.